Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Forum, where teachers from all schools of Buddhism offer their perspectives on the Dharma and its application in modern times, especially for LGBTQI audiences. These talks are offered freely to the world and made possible by appreciative listeners. If you would like to support our efforts to share the Dharma with underserved audiences, please visit gaybuddhist.org. There you can donate, find a list of upcoming speakers, or enjoy many hundreds of these recorded talks dating back to 1996.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome to the Gay Buddhist Fellowship. Our speaker today, our teacher today, is James Beres, and he's been a meditation teacher for 43 years and a creator of the Awakening Joy Course, which has been going on for 18 years. He leads retreats, workshops, and classes in the U.S. and abroad. James is the co-founding teacher of Spirit Rock Meditation Center, the co-author of two books, Awakening Joy, The 10 Steps to Happiness, and Awakening Joy for Kids. He is a guiding teacher for One Earth Sangha, which is a website devoted to a Buddhist response to climate change. So thank you. Welcome, James.
Well, thanks, Grisha, and thanks to all of you for coming here, and to Jeff, particularly Jeff Lindemood, who's my connection for years to this Sangha, and before that, many years ago, we've been sharing the Dharma path for a while, so it's really wonderful to be here with you again. And I was thinking about what I might share this morning, and I thought I'd share one of the Buddhist lists that's not so well known. You might think that you, or perhaps you are familiar with this list, but often people have heard of most of the lists, and every now and then there's a new one that pops through. So hope this is new for you. And if it's not, it's one that when I share, one of the good things about giving a talk is that you hear it on the way out, through you as well as, being on the receiving end. So I'm always giving a talk to myself when I'm sharing a talk with others. And the list that I wanted to, talk about today, is called the Four Iddhipadas. I'm curious how many people are familiar with this list. The Iddhipadas. Raise your hand if you are. Let me just see. One, a little bit. Okay, so good. Something new for you. You can impress your friends with a new Buddhist list. And this list is, it talks about the different ways that we are motivated to practice. We come to practice, we've been inspired in some way, often by a teacher or a talk that we've heard or a book we've read or a friend who has come back from a retreat saying, this is really good stuff, or maybe you can see that transformation in someone, oh, there's something here, please, you know, check it out. And that starts the whole journey, usually. Or we've gone through tremendous suffering and we're looking for answers. It's another way that the journey starts. And we're inspired to start the trip. What's called bright faith. For me, it was the first time I ever heard the teachings in when I went out to Naropa Institute, in which is now Naropa University, in 1974. And I heard Joseph Goldstein give a talk, the first of a series of 10 classes on essential Buddhism. And I heard him talk, and And for the first time in my life, I said, he was saying it's possible to not be run by your neurotic thoughts. And there was something in the way that he said it that I believed him, and I was in my own suffering enough that I thought, I'm going for it. And perhaps you might remember when you first started this journey, what inspired you, what was your bright faith. That's what starts this journey often. And whatever brought you to practice, once you start the journey, keeping going and keeping that bright faith until it turns to verified faith and then eventually unshakable faith, that requires a bit more inspiration and juice. I thought I'd share with you a contemporary prayer that that I love that points to the challenge of not just knowing the better way to live, but continuing it. Dear God, this says, so far today, I've done okay. I haven't gossiped or lost my temper. I haven't been crabby, mean, nasty, selfish, bitchy, or overindulgent. And I'm very grateful for that. But dear God, in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed, and then I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen. So we have all kinds of inspirations and motivations, but seeing all of the craziness in our minds and our hearts and ways that we fall short and ways that we don't quite live up to our ideals, this requires a continued fuel and motivation for practice. And this is where these four iddhipadas comes in. So the word iddhipada, the four iddhipadas, you can see the word iddhi, and there's a word that perhaps you're familiar with, very close to it, siddhi, which in perhaps you've heard of yogis or masters with siddhis, and siddhis are usually spoken of as powers. You know, somebody who can read minds or have perhaps powers that seem unnatural, supernormal. Those are called siddhis. And the word siddhi is the same as iddhi. Siddhi is in Sanskrit, and iddhi is the Pali. So the four iddhipadas are really another way of talking of them. They are sometimes known as the bases of power or the bases of success is another way that they're sometimes translated. And this list actually is one of a list of lists. Might as well get the full picture. There's a list besides, probably all of you are familiar with the seven factors of enlightenment. Well, there's another list called the 37 factors of enlightenment, of which the seven factors are one part. There are the seven factors of enlightenment. There's the eightfold path. That's 15. There are the five spiritual faculties, faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. So now we're up to 20. the five spiritual faculties, when mature, become the five spiritual powers. Now we're up to 25. Is that it? 15, 20, 25. Yeah. Then there are the four foundations of mindfulness. That's 29. Then there are the four wise efforts, guarding against the unwholesome, overcoming it when it arises, cultivating the wholesome and maintaining, increasing them when the wholesome states arise. That's 33. And the last of these is the four iddhipadas. Okay, so now you can have the complete list of lists. And as I say, what these are what sustains our practice. So I'd like to share them with you. And these are different temperaments that people have that come to practice. You might find that you have one that's clearly predominant, and it's not like there's your only one. You might find a bit of each of them in you, but there's one that might be more obviously strong than the others. And so it's sometimes good to get a sense of, oh, where does my motivation for practice come from? So here are the four. I'll go through them one at a time and hopefully make them relevant to your own practice. So the first one is called Chanda Iddhipada. Now, the word Chanda sometimes is spoken of as a beneficial desire, something that you might appreciate knowing, is that not all desire is bad in Buddhism. You might think, oh, you've heard, oh, the cause of suffering is desire, but actually, there are some desires that are wholesome and good. The desire to come to a Sunday morning and sit with everyone and deepen your practice is a good, wholesome desire. The desire to be a more loving person or to develop the gifts that you've been given in a way that benefits others. These are all wholesome desires. So Chanda is different than tanha, which is a different kind of desire. Tanha, which literally means thirst. That's the kind of desire that's attachment that the Buddha spoke of as the second noble truth. But chanda desire is a beneficial desire, something that that you or others benefit from. When it's applied to this particular list, Chanda Iddhipada, the word Chanda sometimes means zeal or enthusiasm. And there are some people who have a natural enthusiasm and zeal and excitement or a spirit of adventure. And we get very inspired in saying, like I did in that first Dharma talk that I mentioned before, I'm going for it. How exciting. Yes, I'm going to make it happen. And not everybody has this. So don't, if this is not you, if you're more of a laid back or kind of show me or going through your doubts or skepticism, don't worry, there's hope for you. But if you have that natural kind of enthusiasm and excitement, that's Chanda. I'll share with you a story, my own practice, that you might relate to. After I'd been practicing for a number of years, and I was on one of a longer retreat, a 3-month retreat, I think it was my second 3-month retreat. I'd been practicing for about 5 years or so. And it was like I opened up to a new Alice in Wonderland. And I went into the interview and I said, I don't know what I've been doing up until now, but this is a whole new ball game and really exciting. I'm seeing things I've never seen before. And this is to Joseph Goldstein, who's my main teacher. And I said, it's just so amazing. And he said, oh, yeah, I know that feeling. I said, you do? And then he said, yeah, I get it every time I sit. And then he leaned forward and he said, and you know what? It's like we're at the tip of the iceberg. I can still remember him leaning forward and saying, it's like we're at the tip of the iceberg now. He wasn't saying, oh, there's so much more you've got to learn. You know, this is going to be a long journey. He was saying it with this sparkle, this twinkle in his eye. It's like we're at the isn't it exciting? That's Chanda Adipada. And maybe before we go on, just to make this relevant to you, whether it's about the Dharma, your practice, or about something else in your life that you felt zeal, enthusiasm, or passion about, maybe some new project or some kind of inspiring venture, I invite you to take a few moments just to make it relevant so it's not just my words. And remember something that you got really passionate, inspired about, inspired by. And you just decided to go for it. And if you can remember back, or maybe it's here right now, maybe there's something you're passionate about right now. Get in touch with what a gift that is, to be so turned on and excited about something. And perhaps you've felt that about practice. Maybe you've had a touch of the possibilities. This is Chanda Adipada. But as I say, that might not be your temperament, your style. So here's the second. This is called Virya Adipada. Now the word Virya is usually translated as energy or effort. It's the, as I said, the second of the five spiritual faculties. It's one of the factors of enlightenment, the third factor of enlightenment, where you are just really putting your whole heart into it, not necessarily with excitement and enthusiasm, but that feeling, what one teacher, one Burmese master used to call heroic effort, that nothing is going to deter you, nothing is going to stop you, and you have a kind of inner faith or inner confidence or inner courage, I should say, even more, that you are going to put your whole heart into the experience. And I'll share with you a quote from the Buddha as he was in his journey of awakening. The Buddha is a prime example of this Virya Adipada, where his determination was not going to be deterred over the 6 years of his struggle. Sometimes he calls it a struggle. This is what he said. If the end is attainable by human effort, I will not rest or relax until it is attained. Let only my skin and sinews and bones remain. Let my flesh and blood dry up. I will not stop the course of my effort until I win that which may be won by human ability, human effort, human exertion. This is Virya Adipada to the nth degree. There he was after his five fellow ascetics left him, and he was all alone, and he saw the tree nearby, and he said, I have done everything humanly possible that I can think of to find what I'm looking for. I'm going to sit under that tree until I become enlightened or die. Luckily for him and us, that was the eve of his enlightenment. Now, you might not have that degree of heroic effort, but perhaps you do have some sense of not being deterred by some kind of goal that you seek. Maybe you have it in relation to practice, or maybe you have it in some other challenge that you have faced. For myself, I can remember one example I was thinking about. Well, when have I had this Virya Adipada? That is, not necessarily doing something because it's fun, but just because I had to do it. And somebody was recently asking me, they were writing, they were starting to write a book and getting very daunted by the process. And I was sharing, you know, when I got the calling to write a book, it's not easy. If you've ever written a book, unless you, for some people it might be, but for most people it's not. And it certainly wasn't for me. And there were many times that I said, who needs this aggravation? I was doing fine before, but there was something that called me that said, you are supposed to do this, and you won't be, you won't feel that you've done what you're supposed to do, what you're meant to do, until you do this project. And it kept me going. And I said, okay. And sometimes it was hard, and sometimes it was filled with joy, but it was always, I won't feel satisfied until I complete this. So, again, I just ask you to reflect somewhere in your life, sometime in your life. Maybe it's about Dharma practice, but maybe it's about something else. Then again, I invite you to go inside and think of a time where your determination, adhitana, it's called in the teachings, one of the 10 perfections, adhitana, determination or resolve, where you called on that to see you through, to go through the hardships, to go through the all the challenges, because you couldn't ignore it. Virya. get in touch with what kept you going. Where did your courage and source of inspiration, where did that come from? So much that you couldn't ignore it. And if you can recall, just tune into that energy that says, I will do this. Okay. So that is Virya Iddipada. And while I think about it, I think I'll put that other word, Adi Tana, in the box. That's the parami, the paramita of determination or resolve, very much related to this Virya Iddipada, the source of our inspiration and connection. But you might not have that in predominance. So here's a third in this list. The third is called Citta Iddipada. Now you might recognize the word citta, the C in Pali, is like a CH. Citta refers often to the mind or the heart. Sometimes it's called heart-mind. And citta in general is that citta, the mind, is everything comes from the mind. And also can refer to a heart. And in reference to the Iddipada, Citta Iddipada is when you have been so touched by the Dharma through seeing on your own, through seeing clearly where your faith and your inspiration has been ignited, and you're not being asked to do anything, but you can no longer ignore the calling of the Dharma. You have fallen in love with the Dharma. Sometimes we say the Dharma hook is in and there's no turning back. This is a tremendous source of power in the journey, where you can't ignore the calling anymore. You have fallen in love with the Dharma, and you're like a moth to a flame. Wanted to share with you a few examples of this. This is from Nisargadatta Maharaj, who wrote I Am That. He says, your sincerity will guide you. Devotion to the goal of freedom and perfection will make you abandon all theories and systems and live by wisdom, intelligence, and active love. whatever name you call it, will or steady purpose or one-pointedness of mind, you come back to earnestness, sincerity, honesty. When you are in dead earnest, you bend every incident, every second of your life to your purpose. You do not waste time and energy on other things. You are totally dedicated. Call it will, honesty, or love. And one of my wonderful teachers, an Indian master named Punjiji. Yeah, I have his picture right here. I can share it with you. This is H.W.L. Punja, or Papaji, who was a disciple of Ramana Maharshi and a great master in his own right. And a number of people were fortunate enough to be around him. And when you were around him, you could feel the passion for awakening. And this is what he says about this citta iddipada. He doesn't call it that. He calls it the desire for freedom. He says, the desire for freedom is our most intense desire. All other desires are on the surface. They rise and fall, you see. But the desire for freedom, once it's been ignited, is intense, and you must respond to it. When you respond, this desire will bring you back home. It will continue to trouble you if it is not fulfilled. This desire must be fulfilled, whether you like it or not. So it's a subtle difference from chanda, that natural enthusiasm. And then there's the virya saying, I'm going for it. But this is a heartfelt inspiration that says, I can't stop. This must be fulfilled. And if you're fortunate enough to have this passion for awakening, everything follows from that. And the thing is, you might have it and then it gets covered over by life or by circumstances or by distractions. But the key is, if you have felt that, to keep reminding yourself of what you've touched. Because when you can tap into that place that just loves the truth, that loves the Dharma, it sees you through those moments where you forget and doubt calls you again and tries to confuse you. And so this is not that you never fall back, but to remember once you do, once you've been touched that way. And I want to share with you a beautiful letter that, or note that somebody wrote to me on a retreat. This is somebody who I'm in touch with and love to support in their practice. And this person has done a lot of practice and long-term practice. And they have also had moments of great doubt. And it's kind of interesting how they've been so passionate about practice, and then they could see, oh, who am I kidding? I'm never going to get anywhere. And a few years ago, they turned the corner and wrote me this beautiful, or shared with me, I should say. They wrote themselves this letter, and then I was fortunate enough for them to share it with me. And you might find some inspiration in it. This was their letter that they entitled, Letter to My Future Self. And they wrote this from the retreat. Letter to my future self. Dear future me, caught in resistance, boredom, doubt, self-doubt, etc., etc. I know it may not seem this way right now, but it's worth it. Really, really worth it. And it's working. And you're not doing it all wrong. In fact, you can't really not do it right. Your intention is powerful, even if you may not recognize it at the moment. Sometimes it goes a bit undercover, but believe me, it's there. And that's all that matters. You're doing great and you're wonderful. And I love you. And I'm so grateful you're doing this. And I'm right there beside you with a lot of faith and compassion. Lean on it whenever you need it. All will be well. There is only one direction this can go. You might write a letter to your own future self. Those times when you get caught or lost or forget. And I just want to, again, invite you for a few moments to reflect. Has the Dharma touched you in a way that you can't ignore? Why do you come to a Sunday morning? Why do you practice? Get in touch with your own love of the Dharma. This is Citta Iddipada. Okay. And now for the fourth. Which is called Vimamsa Iddipada. And the word Vimamsa means investigation. Investigation into the truth of things. And what it refers to is when you really look at things, when you really see the situation that we're in, you understand the amazing good fortune and precious opportunity that you have right now to be born a human, to hear the Dharma, to practice extraordinarily good karma. The Buddha has this image that perhaps you've heard of, that most people are like children playing with their toys in the attic while the house is on fire, burning up. This Vimamsa realizes the house is on fire. And this is an amazing opportunity we have to not waste it. In Tibetan practice, there are called the four mind changers, where once you understand our situation, you are really motivated to make use of this time. The four mind changers, this urgency and motivation to practice, are the preciousness of a human birth. There are, in the Theravadin, six different realms of existence, from the lower realms, the hell realms, and the hungry ghost realm, and the animal realm. And then there's the human realm. And then there are two above human realms, Deva realms. And of all the six realms, the human realm is the best to wake up to, because it has both pleasure and pain. Not so much that you're in a hell realm and can't have some kind of spaciousness in the heart. Not so much that you're in the heaven realm and just in la la land saying, oh, this is cool, but enough balance between joy and sorrow that you see there's a deeper way to penetrate both. Preciousness of a human birth. It's extraordinarily rare to be born a human. I just heard a statistic. If you have all of humanity on one side of a scale and all the earthworms in the world on another side of the scale, the earthworms would outweigh humans by 55 to 1. And then another statistic I remember, this is a few years ago, so now the number of humans has gone up a lot, but it might have been when they were like 6 billion humans. If you put the number of ants on a scale, 65 times number of ants, 65 times the weight as humans. It's pretty rare to be born a human. And one, just thinking another, a statistic that Wes Nisker has in his book, Buddha's Nature. It's a great book. He says, in your mouth right now, there are more organisms than there have been humans since the beginning of time. And in your gut, there's many more than that. So it's pretty amazing. Here we are. Don't waste this opportunity. The second mind changer is seeing impermanence and death, how there's no escaping it. How do you want to live this life? Don't waste your time. The third mind changer in this Vamamsa Iddipada is karma. Actions have consequences, and what you do right now is sowing the seeds of your future very directly. What do you want to do? Cultivate more greed, hatred, and delusion, or more generosity, kindness, and wisdom? And then the fourth of the mind changers is called the defects of samsara, or in Theravadin called the samvega, just seeing how we can be sleepwalking through life and thinking that it's about getting as much as we can, as fast as we can, and that's what happiness is about, and seeing how we are just continuing this cycle of suffering, the 12 links of dependent origination. To really see that and see, oh, that's not where happiness can be found. Let's investigate and see how to get off the wheel of samsara. So that's this fourth Vamamsa Iddipada. And maybe for a moment, just as we end the talk anyway, just getting in touch with your own sense of the rare opportunity that you have to practice. And that maybe you've seen that the game isn't about getting as much as you can. Maybe there's a deeper root to true happiness and freedom. Let's not waste our time. Okay. You can come back. So these are the four Itipadas. So I don't know, do we have time for questions?
Well, why don't we just take 5 minutes or so for questions or comments, and thank you so much for your talk.
Okay, great.
James, I have a question, if I may.
Sure.
I'm Thomas, and thank you for a really lovely talk. These are, you know, four factors I hadn't heard before. So a quick comment and a question. I really love that letter to future self that you read. But as I was contemplating on it, I'm sort of inclined to sort of ask my future self to pull me forward. You know, whatever that future self knows and has become, to sort of reach back to me and pull me forward. So it's a little bit of a twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, so these four Itipadas, they seem to arise as a sort of a natural inclination. I'm wondering, is there any teaching on how to cultivate these?
Well, as I said, they arise as a natural inclination. And when they do arise, don't miss them. You get in touch. I mean, that's what I was trying to do with in inviting you to reflect in your own practice. If you have been on fire, or what motivated you, or when you found courage, sometimes we can naturally have those experiences and then just say, oh, well, that was in the past. But if you can remember, it's something I do with people a lot on retreats. Somebody comes in and says, oh, I had this insight yesterday, but I know, and it blew my mind, but I know it's gone. I say, no. Let's go back there. That moment that you took that step and saw that you didn't really exist the way you thought. And when people remember it, it's alive. It's right back there. And I say, now just, not just know you had it, but feel it in your body.
Anchor
because
it.
When you feel it in your body, it becomes alive. Just like when you hear a song from your high school and all of a sudden you're back in whatever that moment is, using that memory to bring it and make it come alive more and more deeply. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you, James. You know, people talk about why we practice, but your description of these Itipadas and your guided practice just reminded me of, you know, my first experience reading Be Here Now. Then having the good fortune to actually spend an extended period of time with Ram Dass and having experiences like there was nothing else but this, you know, that became the organizing principle of my life. And thank you.
Yep. We share the same lineage. I know we do. Here's the guy who blew my mind from Be Here Now, yeah, just reminding me, hey, it's all perfect. You are too.
Yes, totally.
Changed my life. Yeah. Thank you. Any more? Maybe time for one last one if there is.
I would just like to thank you for a really inspiring talk. I mean, to get back in touch with passion in a spiritual setting as opposed to trying to cultivate passion from causes or, you know, social sources. It's, I guess that really makes me want to get on a retreat again and get to that point where, you know, that the person wrote the letter that you mentioned, so that you read. It's very inspiring talk, and thank you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm so happy that came through. Yeah, and I have to remind myself as well, you know, and I have a talk, by the way, it's on Dharma Seed, called Spiritual Passion. It's about it's a talk on the Adipadas. And I feel just the way you do that, you know, okay, passion gets a bad rap in Buddha Dharma, but the Buddha was completely passionate about awakening. And here we are. So it's just how we can direct that passion, what really lights us up and gives our heart that kind of fire. So it's just channeling what's there, our love of the truth, and that can take us all the way. So we celebrate it together. Thanks, Cass.
I would just like to say thank you again for today's talk and for your many, many years of teaching from Spirit Rock. I've been so fortunate to spend time with you there, but especially your awakening joy that you started years ago in Berkeley. And now it's, of course, a book and online, all kinds of things. But that has been such an important part of so many people's lives. What you did through that awakening joy is just helps encouraged in so many thousands and thousands of folks. And that's, and your book, thank goodness that you did it. And I thank you. That awakening joy has just been so influential for so many people.
So
much.
I'm so happy here. If for those who the Joy Course is one of the most fun things that I do. It's the Dharma, but put into inclining the mind towards well-being and happiness. And I love doing it. Where I do it each year. We're about we're just on our fourth out of 10 sessions, and people can join. All the recordings are up, and you get practice letters and doing it together with people or on your own. And there is a suggested fee, but nobody is turned away whatever people want to offer. So there's the awakening joy. And I want to remind people about the March 28th day long that is also free. And now, Jeff, you just asked, what's the best way to get Donna to you? Is that something I should post, or
you could just direct me to your your website or wherever that link is?
Here it's paypal.me/JamesBarriz, or if people do Venmo, it's at James Barriz, and sometimes they ask for the last four digits of cell, and that's that. And
thank you.
Appreciated.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate your talk and this day with everyone. It's time for announcements, and our newsletter is up. The latest newsletter, and it's going out to prisoners and Sangha members who can't be with us in the Zoom room. And we, of course, to do all that, we have expenses. So please consider giving Donna, and we ask that you contribute $10 to $20 to help the Sangha with honorariums and rent and Zoom costs and the newsletter and all that kind of stuff. So please consider that. And then, Jerry, do you have next week's speaker?
The speaker next week is Devin Barry.
Devin Barry. Okay. And I will quickly grab it.
You find him on the newsletter.
He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
You'll enjoy him a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other announcements? No. Our dedication to merit, we have one that we use, or James, if you'd like to have your own, offer your own, it's up
to you. Sure.
Okay.
Happy to. I'll get my bell here too. So here we are together. Something's motivated us to share this morning. Refuge in the Sangha. Our own love of truth. And our coming here together creates a great ball of merit, as Joanna Macy speaks of. And just imagining sharing all of the good-heartedness that we cultivate by meeting in community, and then sharing it, sending it out to be shared for the benefit of all beings everywhere, especially in these challenging times, all beings, those who are suffering, those who cause suffering through ignorance, those who are happy, those who cause happiness, human, non-human, and this whole planet, may all be benefited, may all know the highest happiness and peace.
Thank you.
Great to be with you all. Be well.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, James.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, James. Beautiful talk. Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, Richard, Jeff. Thanks for all the recordings, George.
Virtual kisses and hugs to everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Gay Buddhist Forum. If you would like to hear several new talks per month and be notified of upcoming speakers so you can participate live, please subscribe to this podcast, like us on Facebook, and join our mailing list by visiting gaybuddhist.org.